Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know those voices. That's John Fox, head coach of the Chicago Bears. And you also heard from general manager Ryan Pace. And we are down at Bears Camp live at Bourbonnais. 312-644-6767 is the number. This segment of the show brought to us by O'Reilly Auto Parts. And Ryan Pace, John Fox met the media yesterday. Bears hit the field today. We learned some things about some of the players, the Pernell McPhee on the PUP list.
Yeah, that happened last night after everyone checked in, after the media had disassembled. Is that a word? Disassembled?
Yeah. Works for me.
And Pernell McPhee is going to start the season, at least the preseason, on the PUP list.
Physically unable to perform list, which is kind of a surprise.
Well, he's struggled with injuries all his career. Not a huge shock, but a mild disappointment.
Right. And I guess the good news, and I was asking for clarification from you, David, because you were down here yesterday, Kyle Long was not, there was no announcement that he was on the PUP list. And we know that he had the leg surgery, had some very serious post-surgery issues trying to rehab and get healthy from that leg to the point where he didn't have the shoulder taken care of surgically, decided to put that off. So he's going to deal with that. Play football and then deal with that, obviously, next offseason, you would think. But we haven't – I assume he's going to – I don't know if he's going to be 100% ready to go, but he's going to be out there doing something, it would
and
seem.
You would consider him the Bears' best player.
Yes.
Some people would. The best at his position. Your marquee player's an offensive lineman. That's where you are as a franchise. And his health is paramount to them having the type of start that they want because they consider the offensive line – and the defensive line, their strength, but their offensive line certainly the strength of their offense. You need a healthy Kyle Long, no matter what position he plays. There's some discussion about moving him again to the other side. Josh Sitton won't be here until Saturday for the birth of his child, apparently. So, you know, they'll get a little bit of a delayed start. What you don't want to see happen with that offensive line, if you do have a healthy Kyle Long, is them going into week one having just juggled positions of everybody yet again.
Right, you want that to get situated
stability,
early. Yeah.
Five is one, the chemistry, the idea that everybody knows the guy next to him and what to expect. An offensive line functions best when they have experience together, and the Bears really have not done a good job of maybe, you know, creating that continuity in past preseason. So Kyle Long, it's probably no news is good news right now that you haven't heard him being put on the PUP list or anything, so we'll just have to wait and see until they get on the field later.
What do you make when John Fox says, I look at the depth chart, and this is the first time I can say I like all these guys? And, again, everything being relative, some of the rosters he's dealt with the last 2 years, you would not like all those guys.
Did you take as a shot at Jay Cutler?
Well,
I
don't know. You know,
some people might have. I like all these guys on the depth chart. You know.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's
what are you saying?
Personality or anything else, but it kind of takes a shot at the front office. Like, you know, finally they gave me something to work with, and he said we're going to be competitive. We were competitive against certain teams last year. Again, where's the bar set for this team and with this coaching staff in particular? But when he says that, okay, there's no ultimatums being made here. Obviously, Ryan Pace didn't tell you yesterday that John Fox has to win or else, even though a lot of people believe that to be the case, you wrote about today. But I don't know how much you like these guys. Again, it's all relative.
Well, I think it's an endorsement of their offseason. It was an attempt to kind of support what they have done. They signed more unrestricted free agents than any team. They put together a roster that has experienced a ton of turnover. There's only 11 players left from when they first got here. You know, Brian, and I tweeted this, we talked about it, driving down here yesterday, this is the 15th year that I've covered this team.
Yep, down here in Olivet.
And they've been here since 2002.
Yep.
I cannot remember, even last year, when Jay Cutler was coming back, and there was still sort of a, you know, he was polarizing, and he created interest and made people stare. Even last year, though, I don't remember a season where there were as the expectations were as low as they are now. Interest was as tepid as it is now. Apathy looms. Irrelevance is right around the corner. Coming down here yesterday, it struck me that, you know, you're taking a departure from Cubs socks in town. Other things that are going on, and it's like the Bears report to training camp. There's no buzz. I mean, there really is minimal buzz, and that's a product of not just the – I'm talking about the media, but that's a product of you get what you deserve, and the Bears haven't earned
the
attention.
You sat there at Soldier Field and watched either people not showing up or people leaving at halftime. Yeah, you know, 2,000-3,000 no-shows when Bears are having down seasons, that's not unusual. Seeing the place half full or by the fourth quarter, maybe a third full, that is news, and that is different, and that is something that should get – it gets our attention and certainly should get ownership's attention. So I'm with you. I mean, coming down here, I don't know what their attendance will be down here when it's all said and done in 2.5 weeks, how many Bears fans are going to show up to watch because Mitch Trubisky is third on the depth chart.
Brian, they've made it harder to follow them.
Yes.
The team now for fans coming down here, if I understand it correctly, have to print out tickets to get in.
Right. You go to chicagobears.com/camp and register, and they're free tickets, but you do need that printed piece of paper.
Which I understand in today's day and age the need to – maybe, you know, monitor and control things in your audience. But
it might be a security issue as much as anything else.
Maybe a security issue, but you're making it harder to follow a team that's been awful.
Sure.
Okay? You're coming off your worst 16-game season ever, and now you just made it more difficult. And one more step, like, oh, do we want to go to Bourbonnais? Yeah, honey, let's go. Let's take the kids. Oh, can you print out those tickets first?
The printer's not working. Oh, all right, we're not
going. All right,
going.
Well, let's go see a movie.
We're out of ink.
Let's go to the beach. I don't know how that manifests itself in terms of interest. What do people want to see when they come here? What do people want to see from this preseason? If it's only Mitch Trubisky, you got problems. Because I think you drafted a guy that, in an ideal world, as Ryan Pace reiterated yesterday, is not going to play this year. But as a fan... what, you know, John Fox said this is the deepest team he's had. That doesn't say a whole lot, but what do you want to see from this Bears team specifically that's going to say, okay, that's the progress that Ryan Pace identified on day one he needs to see?
312-644-6767, if you have the answer to that question that David just posed. And David, there is someone down here that probably doesn't need a ticket to get in, Drew Rosenhaus, on the premises and representing Hakeem Hicks, who we love on the Mully and Halen show. He's not only a great communicator, but even a better football player. And last year of his contract, right? And Drew Rosenhaus,
yes.
Power agent, is down here to get what done exactly?
Correct. Well, Drew Rosenhaus might be the only guy who drove in with a better car than the punter.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, if you're the – yeah, we've had some punters in town.
Pat O'Donnell.
We've had some punters in town. One who had a newsletter and really was not a favorite in the locker room was actually teammates were looking for any reason to see the guy fail. So when you're the punter, you don't want to have the biggest ego and certainly not the flashiest car. But there you have it. It dealer plates on it, so – I don't know if he's just trying to take an extended test drive, but
yeah,
the Batman car caught everyone's eyes yesterday.
You'd like to blend in more if you're a punter, but getting to Rosenhaus and his presence here, it was not missed when he did pull into campus. It was reported by a couple different people who saw him. He's recognizable. Akeem Hicks is a big part of this Bears team. Akeem Hicks wants to stay in Chicago. I didn't realize, maybe you guys did from talking to him over the years. You know, his mother's from Chicago. When he was a free agent and the Bears were showing interest, that factored in. He's wearing a Cubs hat. He's really bought into the whole idea of the sports city, likes the identity. He's a big part of that defense. He's also going to want a big salary. Brad Biggs speculated this morning on Twitter that, or maybe it was last night, that $10 million per year could be where he's asking. A lot of money.
How many years guaranteed? I mean, what kind of guaranteed money? What,
hard to know.
Four-year deal? What,
perhaps. Yeah. I mean, but something that provides a level of security. You know, it would probably be money well spent for a team that wants to rely on its defensive line to carry them.
And for one of the team leaders.
And a guy who really has the potential to be that leader that you need, that voice that you seek.
For example,
tough times.
Last year when we were down here, I think it was day one, right? We're waiting for Akeem Hicks to come off the field, right? And we asked him a couple questions about the Patriots, basically, you know, Patriots camp versus Bears camp. And I think it was even the second question, He answered the first question, then guess what? I'm a Chicago Bear now. I don't want to answer any more Patriots questions. And it wasn't perfunctory, just cliche talk. He meant it. And you're talking about wearing a Cubs cap. He immersed himself into the culture of this team, certainly in the idea that he is a Chicago Bear. And it wasn't lip service.
It wasn't lip service, Brian. And you want guys like that, and you need guys like that when you know that you're going to struggle and you're trying to change the culture, which they're still trying to do, and establish some standards and a level of, I think, a level of excellence that you have not had. So Akeem Hicks is part of the solution, not the problem, and that's what Drew Rosenhaus might be talking with Ryan Pace this week. Who knows?
He's David Hall. You read him in the Chicago Tribune. A great column again today on John Fox and the Chicago Bears. ChicagoTribune.com is the place to find it. And David sitting in for Mike, who's on vacation this week. We're taking your calls 312-644-6767. Scores broadcasting all day down here at Bears Camp, thanks to the fine folks at General RV, the nation's largest family-owned RV dealer, and diehard celebrating 50 powerful years. Forever diehard, visit SearsAuto.com to find exciting offers and a location near you. Going to take a quick timeout, and Akeem Hicks is going to be part of the Mully and Hanley show this season again, so we're looking forward to that, and we're looking forward to more conversation on the Bears and the Cubs and the Chicago White Sox, and anything that's on your mind, you can text us at 67011. It is a text zone brought to us by the Grossinger Auto Group. Find over 5,000 vehicles at GrossingerAuto.com. You got Mully and Hanley on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That's Cubs skipper Joe Maddon talking about Jake Arrieta, who was very good last night. Third quality start consecutively for Jake Arrieta. Got into the seventh inning before, and you heard the call there with Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer. Yoan Moncada, first major league home run for your Chicago White Sox budding star, and the Cubs win again. And the Cubs starters, 9-0 since the All-Star break. The Cubs 9-2, or 10-2 in the first 12 games since the break, and things looking up for the Chicago Cubs, half game in front of the Milwaukee Brewers. You're
Place to stay.
I thought that was the other day when they were the slimmest of margins, 1/1000th of a percentage.
I don't think Jake pitched that day. He wasn't feeling confident that day.
And
he announced afterward, though, they're there for good.
The White Sox found a way to win the first game of the series, and the Brewers found a way to pound the Nationals, and looked like they were going to win another game against Washington last night until they. It melted down in the late innings and lost that game. So the Cubs a half game ahead of the Brewers. Interesting to see what David Stern, the GM for the Milwaukee Brewers, does between now and Monday. More importantly, here in Chicago, what do Theo and Jed do? And even Rick Hahn, does he have any more trades in his in the Sox basket to consummate before Monday?
He's got some options, I would think. His phone will be ringing, and they showed him last night on the telecast, and I think he was texting, and you wondered, oh boy, is that the what's going to happen next? Before we get too far into looking ahead, Brian, I just want to, for a second, look back at last night. We played the Moncada home run. And I know the Sox lost and the Cubs are rolling, but that home run, you don't want to make too much out of his first major league home run. But that specific homer, and they talked about it on the telecast, 0-2 pitch.
Well, that's
well-executed 0-2 pitch. And he still went down, got it, went the opposite way, and you saw when you talk about the raw, all the talent, all the tools in this kid, that typified everything and why people are excited.
Right.
And you saw what he did with that pitch.
He comes in 2-for-20. He's sitting there with 100. Right. And no, to your point, and that Jake Arrieta had not given up an 0-2 home run since 2011.
6 years?
Yeah.
That's an incredible stat. And Moncada just goes down and gets it, and you look like, wow, okay. You don't see that very often in baseball, and you don't see that very often with prospects. And here's a kid who scuffling, maybe confidence is struggling, maybe questioning everything about his swing, getting inside his own head. All those things may still be happening, and he may still struggle. But you saw a glimpse of how good he can be and why everybody's so excited.
Why he got the $30 million from the Boston Red Sox, and why Chris Sale was going the other way for Yoan Moncada being the centerpiece of the package the White Sox got. By the way, Chris Sale, terrific again yesterday. Right now, not even close, right? I mean, he is far and away the Cy Young favorite in the American League. So
I mean,
you better hope that Yoan Moncada is more of a home run guy the last night than what we've seen.
He's striking people out. He's looking good in his uniforms. They're not shredded. They're not shredded. You think of a year ago when he was pitching in the Cubs Sox series. Yeah, that was right after the whole shredded jersey incident. This guy is at the top of his game, and you know, it is still a trade where both teams can feel very good about what they got. And I think last night was a reminder, if you're starting to worry about Mankata, like, better days are ahead.
And you heard Ron Coomer on the call, the Anthony Rizzo base clearing, bases loaded double. It is the Big Smooth on a 3-1 pitch from James Shields. He sent James Shields to the showers. And it was interesting because James Shields said, well, that pitch was on the paint, and he went down and got it too. And he stood there as if he got all of it, because it sure looked like he thought he had a grand slam. But it did clear the bases and pretty much seal the deal for the win for the Cubs. One of our texters at 67011, I do believe a Sox fan, and I love that this series still generates passions and emotions, saying, can we call Chris Bryant the strikeout king now? Man, what an easy out this guy is. Can't hit anything but a fastball. Automatic grab some bench. So right there with the grab some bench, you know he's a Hawk disciple and he's a White Sox guy. And by the way, Hawk doubling down before the game on John Lackey, not giving an inch, claiming that he was looking to drill guys and that he's full of you-know-what if he tells you otherwise. But it's good to see that people in a full ballpark, a lot of Cub fans down.
A lot of Cub fans, it looked like. And looking forward to getting back there tonight to see what the crowd mix is. You have the matchup everybody has been waiting for, Lester and Pelfrey.
And we have a texter wondering, since we are at Bears camp, 67011, saying, David, when are you and George taking that walk through the South parking lot?
I haven't forgotten.
Is that a preseason walk or is that a regular season walk?
I don't think that would
opening day walk?
That's got to be opening day, right?
I think you're the one taking.
If I remember the invitation, it was the season opener, Soldier Field season opener.
Yes.
To walk through the South lot with him to see the support that he feels every time that he does that.
Because he tells
which
you,
I questioned.
So you didn't get the invite when they're 1-6, huh?
I don't want to go through the 1-6. I think that, Joe, I still think it's going to be skepticism is going to
even
reign.
Even on opening day.
Yeah.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Brad Biggs joins us on the CarX Auto and Tire Hotline. Your CarX man has air conditioning performance checks starting at just $19.99. Good morning, Biggsy. What's up?
Hey, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, we're down here at Bourbonnais on the premises of the beautiful Olivet Nazarene campus, and you're here as well. And Ryan Pace and John Fox met the media yesterday. We found out that Pernell McPhee later in the evening was on the PUP list, the physically unable to perform list for the Chicago Bears as they hit the practice fields today. And Drew Rosenhaus is down here trying to get more money for our buddy Akeem Hicks. So already some news to talk about here at the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, the McPhee thing's a little bit concerning, I think, when you consider that it's a knee, and that's what put him on PUP to begin training camp last summer. And, of course, we all remember he missed the first 6 games of last season because of that. I'm not ready to sound alarm bells that he'll miss, regular season action with this. This year, he had shoulder surgery right after the end of last season for an injury that he got in week 16. But the team announced this is a knee, and he's kind of had chronic knee issues. They knew he had knee issues when they signed him in free agency from the Ravens. And this is a guy who I think would be naive to think he's more than a part-time player right now. And when I say that, I don't mean he's not a starter, but I don't see you getting heavy play time out of him. He had 274 snaps a year ago, and so I think they realize they probably have to be judicious with them. Hopefully this isn't something that has Pernell on the shelf for an extended period of time this summer.
You know, Brad, we got the McPhee news last night late after everybody had sort of left, and it was came as a bit of a surprise. Is it a case with Kyle Long, no news being good news, or what do you expect in terms of his health and availability, and where is he as camp starts?
Yeah, my hunch is that Kyle will not. Now they could put him on the PUP list or any other player on the PUP list before practice starts today at 11:15. So we're talking 4.5 hours from now. Okay. But once you get going, you can't retroactively throw someone on the PUP list. So they're going to have to make final determinations for guys like Kyle by that point. You can't go out there, watch the guy practice, and then determine that, hey, we should have put him on the PUP list. It doesn't work that way. You've got to make that decision before you get going. So my hunch with Kyle is that he's not on the PUP list, and that maybe it's a situation where he's not practicing every day, but they're working toward that goal, and he's getting work in. And we saw him doing some stuff on the side during the spring, and so I think that was a good sign. You know, not only the broken right ankle, he had some extensive ligament damage in that ankle as well. So it's been a real grueling road back for him when you consider the injury happened. I think the game was November 13th down in Tampa. That was an awful long time ago.
Big Z, what, if anything, stood out from what you heard from Ryan Pace and John Fox yesterday?
Well, they absolutely sticking to Mike Glennon as the starting quarterback. They really want to avoid any semblance of a controversy at that position. And then, you know, Fox seems pretty happy with where the roster's at, especially in relation to where it was the previous two summers. So, you know, go out and play ball with what you got and hope that you've got a much better football team. You know, there's a lot to be determined between now and when the preseason gets going and when the regular season starts. And then they also talked about trying to keep the players healthier this year. They had 19 players on injured reserve a year ago, and we all know how much that affected a 3-13 football team. They have altered their practice schedule a little bit in terms of, they're not going to go hard every day. They want to keep these bodies in shape. They've got these GPS chips that they can track player movement and that type of thing to try to determine for each individual guy where they need to be at for peak performance. But, I don't recall getting to the start of the regular season last year and feeling like they were just all beat up. Did they have some injuries? Yeah, Kyle, of course, suffered the shoulder injury. It's an ongoing issue for him in preseason a year ago, training camp. But it's not like they had a dozen guys down when the thing got going. It was just it was really an ongoing issue throughout the entire season for the football team, but hopefully much healthier this summer.
Brad, the Bears are big on tradition and history and looking at the past to, reference the present. So they've never had a coach who has survived three straight losing seasons. They never brought a coach back for a fourth. John Fox is staring at his third straight losing season, barring what I think we would consider a major change in direction here as we sit in the first day of practice. Do you think there's a number of wins he has to get to? Brian Pace said vaguely progress is what he wants to see before he reevaluates a guy at the end of the season who will have 1 year left on his contract. What do you think his status is, and is there a threshold he has to meet?
Yeah, I don't know that Ryan Pace has a number in mind, and I don't know that George McCaskey has a number in mind. I mean, I think you have to, when you ask questions like this, you have to talk about how does Pace feel and how do the people above Pace feel, because you can see decisions made that come from even higher up from time to time, and so I don't think you can put a number on it. I think you've got to see clear improvement, and that starts with, you know, significantly more victories than three. There's no question about that, but I think you want to see arrow pointing up. You know, when these guys took over, one of the things they talked about was getting a younger roster. Okay, they've accomplished that goal. So in arrow pointing up, you need to see these younger players blossoming. You need to see these younger players producing and really turning into core productive players that are going to be in place for years to come. It's not getting to 8-8 with a bunch of nice seasons by guys on 1-year prove-it deals. That doesn't sell progress to me. I think it's getting to 8-8 or in that range, 7-9 to 9-7, with young players, guys in year 2, guys in year 3, rookies stepping up and being big time performers for you.
Assuming they value Akeem Hicks as much as some of us do, is that an easy negotiation to get done moving forward here, or is that something that they might think is a little bit premature as you sit here on the first day of camp?
Well, yeah, you know, Akeem signed a 2-year deal last year to join the team, and so I think the challenge there for both sides is sort of coming to an agreement on an extension while valuing the current deal. You know, the Bears aren't a team, and I tend to agree with it, that are going to simply rip up a contract and say, yeah, you've been way better than we thought, so 12 months into this 24-month deal, we're just going to tear this sucker up and start over. Because I think when you sign a guy to a deal and a guy puts his name on a deal, you know, you've got to honor, respect part of that. So it's coming up with an extension for him. The thing that people always need to keep in mind with contracts is you're paying for future production, not what you've gotten from the guy in the past, and I think that's where it's bright for Akeem. He's still young enough that future production for him, a guy who can consistently command a double team on that defensive line, you know, there's a lot of value in that, and be able to have a little bit of wiggle and pass rush to pick up, I believe it was 7 sacks a year ago. Now, I was told a couple weeks ago that Akeem's goal is $10 million a year. Whether he can get that out of the Bears, I'm not sure. Whether the math will add up to that after you factor in, you know, what he's set to earn this coming season, which is about half that, you know, we'll have to see. Can they get a deal done? I don't know. They certainly would like to work toward it, and I know that the Bears have prioritized trying to get an extension for Akeem in place, and they certainly had success recently with deals for Kyle Long before the season, and then Willie Young got a deal done in training camp as well.
Brad, remarkably, Mark Sanchez signed in March but has yet to speak to the Chicago media, so we don't really know how he feels about joining the Bears, his role, or what he expects out of this season. He's a guy yesterday was proclaimed the number 2 quarterback behind Mike Glennon, and Mitch Trubisky will start camp as number 3. A year ago, Sanchez is sitting in the Broncos camp as the perceived mentor to Trevor Siemian, to Paxton Lynch, a guy who served very much the same purpose as he's expected to serve here, and he was cut at the end of training camp. What do you expect out of a Mark Sanchez, and what do you think is realistic?
Well, I think they paid him to come in and be this number 2 guy with experience that's a good fit, that's a good teammate, and those types of things. It's not like they signed him to a big money deal. They could get out from under it if they chose to do that. I think the first thing you're going to look for is, okay, is the left knee okay? He was injured, it was, I want to say, May 30th. Right about there, in an OTA, suffered a knee injury, might have had a scope done. We don't know. We haven't been able to talk to him. He's been a man of mystery since signing with the Bears in March. So we'll see hopefully what he has to say today. Hopefully we'll see him run around out there and throw the ball a little bit. But he got credit for being a quality sounding board and a good teammate for Dak Prescott in Dallas last year. The Bears would like to think that he can have that same kind of intangible impact on their team as well.
Big Z, we'll let you go, but with the technology, the virtual reality things that they've been talking about, now this sensor or whatever there is that they're using inside their uniforms, GPS, locator, everything else. I don't know. Does it recalculate routes and tell you in 20 yards, take a left for a skinny post? Who's behind that? Are they following other teams' leads, or is there someone on the staff who's trying to be an innovator here?
Well, no, I think, other sports are using the same kind of technology, and football, in a lot of ways, I think, has been slow to resist some things involving technology. It's not like there's someone with a joystick on the sideline, moving the player out there or anything like that. But, you're looking for data. The virtual reality thing, that technology has improved. They're using it to see if they can simulate something close to game reps, to practice reps. Because if you can do that without having the guys on the practice field where there are limitations because of the collective bargaining agreement for how long you could be out there and be doing the work, well, then maybe it's a way to attempt to get ahead a little bit. But, they're in camp now. They've got to practice 2 days without pads, and then they'll get to the real thing, and nothing's going to truly simulate 22 players and full pads flying around on the field.
All right, Big Z, we always love our Bigs time. We'll talk to you tomorrow, and take care and continue the good work.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
He's Brad Biggs. We are down live at Bears Camp, kicking off the Scores Broadcast Day live here in Bourbonnais, and it's brought to us by the fine folks at General RV, the nation's largest family-owned RV dealer. Die Hard, celebrating 50 powerful years. Forever Die Hard. Visit SearsAuto.com to find exciting offers and a location near you. 312-644-6767 is the number. I have a lot of people text in via the text zone, brought to us by the Grossinger Auto Group. We'll get to some of your texts. 670-11. You got Molly and Hanley. David Haas sitting in for Mike on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.